Bill Morehouse, the president of the Utica Comic Council. It's great to have you in.
Great to be here, Mark. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
Talking to Town. Wish you the best. I think I don't know what happens when you have politicians in here, but you need to have ground rules, and I just like to go over those quickly.
Sure.
You can ask any question you'd like about anything
okay.
to me, and my responsibility will be to actually answer the question and answer it honestly.
Nice.
So can we agree to those ground rules?
So. Okay. I think those are fair.
You know, I'm always concerned when somebody comes in here with a big pile of papers that they need to look at.
Yeah.
Because that means they need to remember what they said. And, you know, if you tell the truth, you don't need to remember it. It's
right.
The truth.
You know, when you say big pile of papers, we had Frank Fissera in here, one of the council members from the Utica Common Council, and he had a stack of papers. And it was, you know, it was asked, hey, Frank, well, what about this? And we were talking about the Safer Grant with the sure. Utica Fire Department. Man, and he had papers, he had flyers, he was going all over the place. You and Frank really make the Common Council meetings something to go to.
You know, I've shook hands with Frank 50 times, and then we've turned back on each other 50 more times. So, Frank, God bless him. He's elected by the people, and yep. That's the beauty of the elections. Whether you win by one vote or 100,000 votes, the people decide, and the people decided they wanted Frank representing that district. Do I think he's sometimes an obstructionist? I'm not going to say that, but I just did. He's an obstructionist.
Well, you're a rubber stamp. That was Frank's reply. I thought that was an interesting little back and forth at the last meeting. Is, you know, you call Frank an obstructionist, and then he started shouting back, "You're a rubber stamp." How do you guys get together on some of these issues to resolve them?
Well, most of the time we don't. You know, I don't vote, as you know, as president of Common Council.
As president, right.
I mean, my main job is to be there, to be part of VNA, to oversee, and quite frankly, if, God forbid, something should happen to the mayor,
mm-hmm.
Your president of the Common Council becomes mayor. And we've seen that just recently with Tim Julian, served yeah. 7.5 years because of an issue with former Mayor Hanna. And so when you don't vote on some of these council issues, it really is somewhat difficult because you can express your opinion. I vote if there's a tie, Mark, but there's 9 council people.
I yeah.
mean, you know, you don't have to be a math major to figure that one out. It's tough. You know, I think what happens, what has recently happened when you look at the roundabout, the Safer Grant, and some of these other things, you know, the council passes it, and Mr. Vissera votes against it, and Jim Zecca oftentimes joins him. So, you know, I think we're moving forward as a city. Can we do better? Absolutely. Are we moving forward? I believe so.
Any questions for Common Council President Bill Morehouse? Give me a call, 624-0870, 624-0870. Speaking of the mayor, I actually got an email about the mayor not appearing on today's show. And this is Frank, and it just says Frank Utica. That's all it says. To refuse to come on.
That can't be Frank Vissera.
No, he would be here.
Well, he lives in Barneville.
So okay. We'll get back to that in 1 second, because that's a hot topic. To refuse to come at this point is just plain stupidity. He's not in the greatest of standings that he can afford to refuse anything. Frank needs to use spell check. If he doesn't like what Julian said, then he really needs to put on his big boy pants and man up and actually go on the air and refute it. No wonder Utica is a mess. And that was Frank from Utica email. You say that Frank Vissera doesn't live in the city.
You know, the people elected him. There was some question on where his residency is, but it was decided he could run for office. So, you know, quite frankly, if it's okay for him to run for office, I don't care where he lives. People said it's okay for him to run for that council district Utica, and he won. The people decided they wanted him representing him, so I have no problem, and that was strictly just little levity.
Well, no, it's funny that you bring that up because people have been saying it for years. But it's so hard to prove it because he does have a residence in Utica. And it's one of those.
And let's face
myths.
It, the residency thing is a fishy thing. You know, you get your bills to a certain address and whatnot.
Right.
But the bottom line is the people who run for these offices, Mark, are concerned about the city of Utica. Whether you think they maybe are sometimes an obstructionist
yeah.
or not, which I do feel Frank is on occasion, he's doing this, I got to believe, because he cares about the city of Utica. And that's why we all do this stuff. The county of Oneida, Mohawk Valley, the state of New York, the great state of New York. We care about it, and
yeah.
that's why we're involved.
What's your involvement going to be on the next election cycle?
Well, you know, this whole thing with the...
I heard you're running for president of the United States.
That, you know...
No, because it seems like everybody throws your name out there for everything. You got the assembly seat, you got the mayor's race. Where do you stand
on
it?
Well, that's probably my own fault, because I throw my name out there for
everything.
But, you know, I never planned on being in public service. I became a county legislator in 2003, the 2004 term, and it was never on my radar screen whatsoever. And once I got involved, it really makes you feel good to be involved.
Yeah,
and to see what's happening behind the scenes, see where our tax dollars go, and see if we can do a better job. You know, at this point, the assembly seat was something that interests me. I have a junior in high school, my daughter, my son's freshman at St. Bonaventure's. And, I just don't think it was the right time for me to be in Albany that much of the time. The mayor expressed interest that he wanted that assembly seat. And, you know, it becomes a little confusing to me, Mark, because he had the votes, I thought, as far as the committee votes to actually get the nod over Mr. Brindisi. And at least that's what I was told. Now, you know, sometimes you don't get told the truth.
I heard the same thing.
But if he had the votes and he decided not to run, is it a party unity thing? Well, you know, you always hear party unity, and when you hear party unity, it's usually because the guy who wants to make it unity knows he can't win.
Right.
And so he says, well, we're doing it for party unity. I think if the mayor thought he could win that assembly seat, he would have run for it. And he decided not to. So he's going to run for mayor again, and we'll see what the beauty of elections are this time of year is the people decide. And in this case, the Democratic Party decided who's going to be their candidate. And Anthony Brindisi, you know, that's a Democratic district.
Yeah,
it'll be
sure.
very hard to beat the Democrat in that district. I'm sure you'll see either Schumer or the governor come to town on behalf of Mr. Brindisi, who is going to get the nod tonight.
Yeah, it's a lock.
Yeah,
it's
no
pretty question. Much a lock that Anthony is going to get the seat. Thought so before he even announced. I heard the rumors that he was sitting in front of the committee, and he's a pretty attractive candidate. And
he's physically attractive.
He's
yes,
a good-looking guy.
That's what my wife tells me. But you know, he works hard. He has the financial backing.
Sure.
I'm impressed with him. You know, I feel that maybe he's getting somewhat of a free pass here because he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a free pass to the assembly.
Well, you know, especially since the only elected seat he's held so far is the school board.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a big step.
But he's an accomplished, he's accomplished from the standpoint that he's a lawyer and he's gone through the schooling and he's here locally. I think he plans to stay. I don't think there's much bad to say about Anthony Brindisi, really.
Talk of the town, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, sir. How are you? What's your name?
Artie Williams.
Artie Williams, where are you from?
Utica, New York.
All right, sir. What's your question or statement?
Well, it's kind of a little bit of both. I just wanted to know in regards to the city snow plowing. The article, the report was that we had no snow plows because they were home resting. And I wanted to know what he thought about it. We had some of the highest paid salary people there at the DPW. And, we didn't get service. And that's what we pay taxes for. And they're home resting. And I wanted to know if it was possible, if the mayor's considering giving a tax refund to people since we had no employees that we paid for working that day.
Well, I know, Bill, you can't speak for the mayor, but what's your take on that whole snowpocalypse that happened in the city?
Well, it was unfortunate. It was unacceptable. And just a quick note, you know, DPW is some of the highest paid guys. The average salary down there is $38,000 or so. So, yes, they have nice pensions and retirements. That's a story for another day. But nobody's getting rich down there. They're trying to support their families, middle-class people. The snow plowing on that storm, unfortunately, some of the plows broke down. It was unacceptable. You know, when I turned off the parkway onto Valley View Road, once you hit New Hartford, the streets were bare. And in Utica, the streets were a disaster, and that's embarrassing. And it was embarrassing. I know the mayor was embarrassed. I know Dave Short was embarrassed. It's absolutely unacceptable, and it needs to be handled immediately. As far as a tax rebate, call President Obama if you want some money. He's got a big stash of money.
Well, Artie, hopefully we can get the mayor in here to answer that question himself. We're still waiting on him. He took some umbrage with some of the comments that Tim Julian made, so we're working to get him in here. So a couple days, give me a couple days, and we'll have him in. You can call and ask him yourself. All right, buddy?
Thank you.
All right, and if you have any questions for Bill Morehouse, 624-0870, 624-0870. And I've never known you to shy away from any questions, Bill.
Not at all. I'll be honest, and I'll answer it for you. Guaranteed.
What's the biggest issue facing the city coming into summer?
Well, the biggest issue is to look at next year and to start looking at the budget because we're going to have a serious problem. You know, we deferred money again, $1.1 million on the pensions and retirements, which we did last year. They allow us to defer it over 10 years. You know, that stuff's going to come back to roost eventually. You can't just keep deferring this stuff. Our revenues are down. If we get rid of the ambulance service, our revenues will be down even more, even though I know Mr. Vasarek tends to think that isn't a revenue generator. It absolutely is a revenue generator. And we need every revenue we can get. Our tax base is increasing. We need to stop some of these judgments. You know, our biggest thing, Mark, one of the biggest things, we put $180,000 in the budget this year for judgments. That's not going to touch the judgments. You know, we have a serious problem with this Longo case potentially.
Yeah, that's coming up, and that is going to be messy.
And, you know, my concern is what happens is we hire outside attorneys, good ones, good attorneys, J.K. Hage, John Murad from Syracuse, good attorneys, and we pay them big fees, and they go in and settle these cases anyhow. Well, shouldn't we have lawyers on staff that can settle
these cases? I've always asked the same thing. What's the corporation counsel do if they just farm out these lawsuits? What's their? Isn't that what they're there for, to handle
city
lawsuits?
I understand in some of these things they don't have the precise professionalism for that exact case, but they always settle these cases.
Yeah.
Anybody can go settle a case, and even if we settle it for a little more, we don't get an outside attorney involved that we pay hundreds of thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
and then we end up settling the case anyhow. So we need to get corporate attorneys on staff at the city council that can settle these cases themselves. And you know, maybe we, instead of paying them $55,000-$60,000, we pay them $75,000-$80,000, but it would be money well spent.
You're on the air with Bill Morehouse. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, a couple of years ago, I believe, there was a letter to the editor in the Utica OD signed by a Bill Morehouse. And the letter attacked my former employer, John Zogby, the pollster. Was that a letter written by you?
I have no comment on it. No, just kidding. I wrote a letter in regards to, you know, sometimes I think, John, I respect what he's done as far as building a great business here locally. I just felt, and part of my letter indicated, that John leans to the left. He's a left-wing leaning pollster. And I think sometimes that skews his polls. And that was my point. And that was my only point. I think John's a successful businessman. My hat goes off to him. But you know, he's in a business where you really need to be nonpartisan. And John Zogby is partisan. And that was my only point. And yes.
Well, what I really like to know what proof you have that his polling is partisan. Let me explain the situation. Hang on a second. Let me continue. During the election of Dole and Clinton, when all the pollsters were giving, were saying Dole was a 20%, 15% loser, John Zogby had him as about a 2% loser, and he ended up being correct in that election. Rush Limbaugh came out and said John Zogby is the only pollster you can trust in America. He is the pollster of choice for Americans. What polls are you citing that John Zogby skewed, and why would a person with any intelligence put his business and his employees under duress by being a phony, false pollster? No one would hire such a person. Your attack was absurd, ridiculous, and nonsensical. You have no proof. What is your proof?
Well, the beauty of America is we all have our opinion. My only
we can have our opinions, but we aren't entitled to our facts. I mean,
am I going to get a chance to speak?
Yeah, sir, you've asked your question. Let Mr. Morehouse respond, please, or we'll be here all day. Trust me, I know it. So let Bill respond.
You know, my point of the letter was John Zogby, are his polls partisan? I don't know, but John Zogby is a left-leaning person. He is partisan, and that was my
only
point.
We all lean one way or another. What does that
mean? You know, it's funny. It's funny that you
would.
It's funny you come out and you're trying to protect John Zogby with Rush Limbaugh. Very interesting there. Very interesting. And Rush Limbaugh is not a partisan person.
Rush Limbaugh plays John Zogby. I'm just saying.
And Rush Limbaugh is as partisan as
they. Somebody you believe in or not? Do you believe in a Rush Limbaugh? Do you listen to him?
You know, the good news here is this. You read the newspaper, the OD, which is very important. You read the letter to the editor. You have your opinion on it. I wrote the letter. My name is on it, so you know what my opinion is. And we move on from there, and that's the great discourse that we have in America.
Well, the great discourse is that you wrote a ridiculous letter. You cited no facts. You just attacked someone, attacked a businessman. How many jobs have you brought to this area? And, where is your success? Your letter was ridiculous, and you're a ridiculous person for writing a ridiculous letter.
I appreciate that, and your name is...
You have some facts that he skewed a poll. Give the facts. Don't attack a person ad hominem.
Are you anonymously attacking me?
It's a logical attack.
I'm just asking you, are you anonymously attacking me, or are you going to give us your full name and tell us who you are?
Just idiotic.
Yeah.
Idiotic, well, sir.
I appreciate your opinion, and have a great day.
Yeah, that's you know, and you get, how do you, you must get a lot of people like that.
Look, you know, I've been called a 3-watt bulb, and I always say, geez, I only thought I was 2 watts. So, you know, it goes with the territory. And I think as long as people attack me and don't start in on my family, I think that's where politicians really lose it. When you start attacking somebody's family,
yeah,
it becomes above the pale. But you can call me, Mark, I understand this. I'm a big boy. I understand that not everybody's going to be happy. Let's face it, when you win an election, if you win big, you win 55% to 45%.
That's a big win.
And that means that almost half the people that are voting don't want you.
Yeah, when you see that 5% victory, it's like, wow, that's a blowout.
Right.
You know, we saw it with the congressional race last year. Everybody was really surprised that the Congressman Hanna beat Mike Arcuri that much.
Yeah, and
it's just little margin.
And I think one of the reasons people are so hesitant, and I see now the Republicans are looking for mayoral candidates. They're looking for mayoral candidates, yep, president of common council candidates, legislator council candidates. There's not people who want to do this, Mark, because what happens is you put yourself out there,
yep,
you get exposed to the stuff I was just exposed to right there. Anonymously, somebody calling up here, they don't have to name who they are.
They can make up.
But everybody knows who I am. And if you do lose, Mark, it means your friends and family and the people in your neighborhood don't want you to,
right,
represent them. And people have a tough time with that. And so, you know, I encourage everybody, if you're out there, get involved and become part of the system. You know, when we talk about politics, one of the things that, and just to go off pace a little bit here, when you look at like the Claudia Tenney against George Joseph race,
yeah,
both qualified candidates, yep, to be assembly people. But my problem with it was only Republicans got to vote. And nobody else got to vote because once that primary was over, there was nobody else on the ballot.
There was nobody else.
And so that means all the independents, all the Democrats, you know, nobody got to vote. And I would have liked to have seen those two on the ballot. It could have been those same two. But let everybody vote.
Yeah.
And you know, so because of the two-party system now, the Democrats let their party down there by not putting up a candidate. And you don't want to just throw candidates to the wind. But, you know, the beauty of elections is the people decide. And that's the beauty of it.
Now, I'm going to ask you again. Are you running? Are you seeking re-election for Common Council president? Because I've heard some rumors. I'm not going to quote Rob Palmieri and say a little bird told me, but the word on the street is Jim Zecca will be seeking for the Common Council president position.
Absolutely. And Jim called me and he told me he was going to seek that. And I said, Jim, God bless you. And the beauty of it is the people will decide, Jim, if they feel you're a better person to be up there on the dais running those council meetings, then they'll decide that. And, you know, in the old days, you would never have somebody in your own party primary you.
Yeah.
But those days are long gone. And, you know, I can go screen with the Democratic Party, and if they endorse me, guess what? I get a primary from Jim Zecca.
Yeah.
And if they don't endorse me, guess what? I get a primary from Jim Zecca.
So either way, it's going to be a primary.
Absolutely. You know, I normally wouldn't consider running against an incumbent mayor in my own party. But, you know, obviously I was very disappointed because I thought Mayor Raffaro was going to run for the assembly seat.
Mm-hmm. That was the general feel around town.
That was my general feel.
It was going to be Tim versus Dave again in round two.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's
the thriller in Manila.
Yeah, right. So now it's, you know, the races are kind of set in stone,
yep,
with who's running and what's running. So now we're just waiting for everybody else to announce that they're seeking the mayor's seat. And it's going to be a lot of people. I think there's going to be...
Do you think so, Mark? I'm concerned when I see the Republican Party looking for candidates. I know after discussing with my family and especially my wife, because anybody who's married, and I've been married 22 years
yeah,
to a lovely woman, Deb, she rules. So she dictates what happens in the household. And you know, right now it's not a good time for... It wouldn't have been a good time to be in assembly position. County executive is a really big race to undertake.
Yeah,
it's all summer. It's a countywide. I mean, you have to do it all. So, you know, the city is a better spot for me right now. More than likely, I'll be running again for re-election for president of common council. But, you know, the people need a choice for mayor. And I don't think Dave's going to run unopposed.
No.
And he may even be opposed in his own party. So, you know, things are still up in the air, but it's going to, these things will clarify themselves very quickly.
Yeah.
Because people want to know where everybody's at, because then the dominoes also.
Yeah,
because
you got to get your petitions, you got to get this, you got to get that.
You know, the signature thing is huge.
It is.
And if, you know, if Rob Palmieri's talked about primary and Frank Fassera, if you get three or four people trying to run on the same party, they all need 650
then
signatures.
There's only so many people in the city of Utica.
Mean, good luck. Yeah. You know, good luck. And it could be crazy. But, you know, I think we're moving forward as a city, and I hope we continue to do so.
And we're not so sad as people think. Bill Morehouse, president of the Utica Common Council, I want to thank you for coming in. As always, it was great to
Mark,
talk to you.
Pleasure. And once again, good luck with the show. We wish you the best.
Excellent. Thanks so much.